Good morning and God's peace. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday is the second Sunday after Epiphany, and our gospel text for this Sunday is found in John, the first chapter, beginning with the 29th verse through the 42nd verse. And we read, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I have come to baptize with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is to be interpreted, a stone. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before you again, that you would speak to us through this word this morning, that you would give us hearts to receive that word and ears to hear it. We thank you, Lord, for this place of worship. We thank you for the freedom to come here and worship you without fear or favor of men. Oh, Father, we just thank you and pray that you would be with us and speak to each one of us this morning. Amen. I thought I might just speak a little bit about Epiphany. When we had Bible studies here a couple years ago, we studied Epiphany and what it meant. But it's one of the most important festivals that they had even in the third century church, Epiphany and Passover. What was the other one now? Passover, Epiphany, and
Pentecost.
Yeah, right. I have a hard time remembering things nowadays. Yeah, that was the three important things that they commemorated. So it was very important to the third century church. And then in the fourth century, the Western church decided to have Christmas on December 25th. And so Epiphany was January 6th, 13 days after the birth of Christ. So this Epiphany, the meaning of this word Epiphany, which we pray that each one of us would be epiphanized. Epiphany means a shining of a light, a shining forth, a manifestation, an appearance, and a revelation. This is what Epiphany means. And Epiphany enlightens us through the great scriptures, scriptural truths that we read. I thought I would speak a little bit about last Sunday was from the third chapter of Matthew, the baptism of Jesus Christ. And I understand Clark took the other epistle text, which was sixth chapter Roman, that speaks on our baptism. But I turn to Matthew, the third chapter, and I'll read actually before the text for last Sunday about his ministry. I'm sure we all know the ministry of John, but it's good to refresh on it. Third chapter began with the first verse. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And he went out to, and then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw the Sadducees, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not, saying within yourself, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy. I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That was the ministry of John baptizing in the wilderness. He was preparing the way for Christ to come. And here in our text, We begin with, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's one of the greatest messages in the whole scripture. Behold the Lamb of God. And it's for each one of us this morning that we would behold that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the people that were there understood what the Lamb of God was, what this Lamb was. From all through the time from the beginning of creation, there were sacrifices made. There's many sacrifices made in the temple. Even Abraham, when he went to sacrifice his son, how that God provided a ram. And he had told his son before they went up there on the mountaintop that God will provide. His son asked, Where's the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide. And God has provided that sacrifice. And Luther says that John was that finger that pointed to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I read when I was studying, talked about that in Europe. There was an art piece in the monastery in Europe next to the altar. And it was of Christ's crucifixion. That's what the artwork was. But if you look closely at the artwork, who was in that picture? But John the Baptist was in that picture of Christ being crucified. And he was there pointing to the cross where Jesus died. We know that John died before Christ was crucified. But it depicted that message of the Lamb of God, the one that was crucified for your sins and my sins. That taketh away the sins of the world. For the whole world he died, not only those that believe on him now, but for the whole world from creation on, all his creation, he died for them. He has taken away the sins of the world. He's taken away all the sins of the whole world, whether it be murder, theft, adultery, covetousness, lying, hatred, all the sins of our thoughts, words, and deeds. He has taken them away. So behold that Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Behold that Lamb of God that taketh your sins away. Look to him. Can you believe that Lamb of God has taken away all your sins this morning? I want you to believe that all your sins were taken away. They were crucified there with Christ. Christ paid for all your sins, past, present, and future. He shed his blood for your sins. So this morning, you can believe that all your sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done on that cross. He shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me, that we can believe our sins are forgiven, that we can have that peace of God this morning, that we can have that hope of eternal life. It speaks of this Lamb of God also in the 5th chapter of Revelations. Fifth chapter and 9th verse. Fifth chapter, Revelations, the 9th verse. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thou hast made us unto our God kings, priests, and we shall reign on earth. And the 12th verse says, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We could have many sermons just on this one statement here. Then we go on with our text. This is whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He was preferred before John. He was greater than John the Baptist. He was before him. He was slain before the foundations of the earth. He goes on, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I have come to baptize with water. Here John is doing his ministry. And the reason he's preaching there and baptizing, that this Christ would be made manifest unto Israel. He says, therefore, I come baptizing with water. We have been joined unto Jesus Christ in our baptism. With our baptism, we are joined onto that baptism of John that Christ did. Christ fulfilled that baptism that John preached there in the wilderness. He was there with all the sinners that lined up to be baptized. On him was all the sin. He was a sinner because he had our sins upon him, but he was not within himself a sinner. But he bore our sins as he went to be baptized there. He took all our sins. And he was baptized by John for the remission of sins. Which we have in our baptism. As Luther says, the blood of Jesus Christ is mingled with the water of baptism. So as was with John's baptism, there's remission of sins in our baptism. And oh, that we would look back at our baptism and understand that covenant that God has made with us. And if you look into the sixth chapter of Romans, it clearly tells us what our baptism is. That we have died with Christ. We have died unto sin. That the new man would come forth. That our members would no longer be used for unrighteousness, but our members would be used unto righteousness. That we would take part in his resurrection and becoming a new man, but also on that last day, that we would be resurrected the same as Christ was resurrected. Study that sixth chapter of Romans, that you may understand that covenant that God has made through baptism for you and I, and what it means to us. As he says, there is the beginning. Should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Do you not remember, I'm not quoting exactly, but it's what it's meaning, I feel. Do you not remember that baptism that you have been baptized with? That you have died with Christ. You have died to sin, and you have become a new creature in Christ. As Paul says, behold, all things become new. The old passes away. And then in the 32nd verse, it goes into John's, Christ's baptism. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode on him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and the rain remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. We turn back to Matthew 3. We go into Christ's baptism, which was a scripture gospel text for last Sunday, which I'd like to read. The 13th verse of the third chapter in Matthew, 13th through the 17th. Then Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I need that to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered unto him, suffer it to be now, so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, the voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John did not want to baptize him to start with. He knew that he was the Lamb of God. And he claimed that he needed to be baptized of Jesus rather than him baptizing Jesus. But Jesus said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill righteousness. He had to do it for our righteousness. He had to fulfill that baptism that we were unable to fulfill perfectly. So he suffered that it would be so, that he would baptize Jesus. And we see what happened when Jesus was baptized. They went straight out of the water, and the heavens were opened. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lit upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We have the whole Trinity there and at that time. We have Christ, the Son of God. We have that Spirit, Holy Spirit, that came like a dove and lit upon him. And we have God the Father speaking from heaven. And we have the same thing in our baptism. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They're all present in our baptism. John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. This was Jesus that come to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, that we would have that Holy Spirit, that it would abide with us in each one of our hearts. Know that we would understand the office of the Holy Spirit and what it does for us. The Spirit leads us in all truth, leads and guides us. Tells us to listen to the Spirit. Know that we would hear the Spirit as it speaks to us, that we would not ignore that voice of the Holy Spirit as it speaks to us. other three Gospels, right after Jesus was baptized, the record is that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil, where he fasted for 40 days and the devil tempted him. But here we have where his disciples began to follow him. 35th verse says, again the next day after John stood and the two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Here again he tells his disciples, behold the Lamb of God. And what did they do? And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Oh, that we would be like his disciples. When we heard that message, behold the Lamb of God, that we would say, I'm going to follow him. Even though we don't have the strength ourselves to follow him, God is the one that gives us the strength to follow him. But we would have the desire to follow him. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is a say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So he tells them, come and see. If we have people ask us about Jesus, where he abodes, oh, that we would say, come and see. Come and see where Jesus abodes. He is present here this morning. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. And one of the two which heard Jesus speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is to be interpreted the Christ. They had an epiphany. They had a revelation of Jesus Christ that they were able to say unto Peter that they have found the Messiah, the Christ. And when he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. This is where Jesus was picking his disciples that were to follow him. In other Gospels, it goes down through a list of different ones that followed him, how those that left, that were fishermen, have left their nets to follow Jesus. that we left everything to follow Jesus. Which reminds me of a book that I read by Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship, and what the cost of discipleship is. What do we leave to follow Jesus? We want to hang on to things, right? We always want to hang on to something. There's a lot of things in this life that seem to be important to us, and maybe more important than following Jesus. But what is the cost of following Jesus for us? Have we left everything, or do we hold on to things? I would say most of us hold on to things, right? But we have this sin nature that we got to deal with. That don't make it right, but we have this warfare in this life. I pray that God would have spoken to us this morning, that we are able to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The one on the cross, that's where it points to. That Lamb that was slain on that cross for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close with prayer and benediction. O Father, that you would give us ability to behold that Lamb of God, the one that takes away our sin. And oh, that we would not hold on to things to follow him, but we would leave that stuff that's such a distraction to us in this world and follow Jesus. We realize that we have sinned much every day. And oh, merciful God, we confess that we by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal judgment, punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us. And lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Now may the